Amen. Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise today. Amen. As you stand with me, Brother Mike, can you give me some monitor up here, sir, a little bit? I'm losing my voice already. This worship team's making me sing too much. Let me appreciate our worship team today. Amen. They work so hard. We appreciate them so much. Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise for all of our visitors that are here with us. We're so thankful to have you in the house of the Lord today. What a wonderful weekend we have had in the Holy Ghost. God has surely shined a light upon us in our outreach yesterday with our block party and our back-to-school drive. And yesterday's morning prayer was a very special place to be. Amen. What a wonderful weekend God has given us. Amen. And we're so thankful to have the privilege and the opportunity to gather in the house of the Lord today. If you would, meet me in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. The book of Acts, the 16th chapter. I'm going to read verse 16 through 31. In your hearing today. And I want to speak to you on something that I feel the Lord has really placed on my heart. Amen. And I pray it's a blessing to you as it was to me as the Lord ministered to me. I want to try to minister to you what the Lord has relayed to me today. The book of Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 16. You can shout amen when you get there. Amen. I got five people. As soon as we get 10, I'll start reading. Shout amen when you get there. Acts 16 and 16. Amen. The word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul." This little damsel who was possessed with the spirit began to follow around Paul and Silas. And as she followed them, she cried loudly, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did this little damsel many days. But Paul, who was grieved, frustrated, turned and said to the spirit that was on the inside of her, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out of her that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, the Bible says they caught Paul and Silas, and they drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. They brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and they're teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, because we are Romans." And the Bible says that the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates ripped off their clothing, and they commanded to beat Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the innermost part of the prison. And he made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, everybody say midnight. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. How many know in the presence of the Lord, everybody's bands can be loosed? Everybody's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, seeing that the prison doors were open. And he drew out his sword, and he was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling. And that jailer fell down before Paul and Silas that day, and he brought them out, and he said, "Sirs, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Ooh, my My God, I don't know about you, but that caused a hair to stand up on the back of my neck today. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and all thine house. I come to tell this body today that worship isn't only for moments of joy and peace. I'm going to say that one more time, Sister Tina. Worship is not only for moments of joy and peace, but it's also for times of deep pain and deep suffering. And Acts 16 shows us that Paul and Silas worshiped the Lord in a situation that seemed so hopeless. I want to preach to this body today on this topic: when worship hurts. When worship hurts. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord all over this place in a corporate fashion today. Come on, I know you've already given praise. I know you've already lifted him high, but just for a few moments, can we clap our hands in adoration? Come on, church, do you love him? Do you need him? Do you want him today? Come on, is he always there for you? Come on, is he everything to you today? Give him some high praise for just a few moments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. When worship hurts. Amen. When worship hurts. The story that I just read to you today, from the Word of God, tells us that Paul and Silas, beaten and imprisoned in their darkest hour, had to make a decision. How many recall times in your life where everything seemed to be falling apart and a decision had to be made? Paul and Silas, beaten and imprisoned in their darkest hour, you just shouted it out, midnight, in their darkest hour, amen, they had to make a decision, amen, will I worship? Will I worship? Can I tell you, there's going to come a time in your life when everything's not hunky-dory. Everything isn't peaches and cream. Everything isn't going the way that you want it to go. And you're going to have to make the same decision that Paul and Silas had to make when their feet were in stocks in the inner part of the prison, when they said, will I worship? The physical stress, the emotional stress, the political stress, Paul and Silas had every reason in the world not to worship. How many know that when your flesh will tell you oftentimes that you have every reason in the world to not worship God? Come on, your life is not what you want it to be. Your church is not what you want it to be. Your marriage is not what you want it to be. Your finances is not what you want it to be. Your health is not what you want it to be. Can I tell you, your flesh and your enemy will fill your mind, fill your heart, fill your soul, fill your spirit with every reason in the world why you should not worship. But you got to ask yourself a question. When you're feeling in prison, when you're feeling embattled, when you've been beaten, will I worship? Will I worship? Amen. You got to ask yourself that question sometimes today. Your flesh will tell you you got every reason in the world not to worship. But something shifted. Something shifted when through it all, when through everything they were going through the stripes that they took, through the stocks that was on their feet, through the prison bars that they were behind, something shifted when through it all, they made the right decision and they said, we will worship. We will give praise unto God. We will sing songs unto God. Everything might not be what I want it to be right now, but I understand when I'm in prison, when I'm battled, come on, when I'm hurting, when I'm confused, when I'm lonely, it's not time to not praise God. It's time to praise God. Will you worship when worship hurts today? Clap your hands unto the Lord and give him praise all over this house. Will you worship when worship hurts? Tell your neighbor, worship still works today. Something shifted, amen, when Paul and Silas, through it all, started singing songs unto God, started giving praises unto God. Can I tell this body today that worshiping in pain is a loud declaration of how good your God is? Worshiping in pain, worshiping in suffering, worshiping in sorrow today is a loud indication of just how great and how good, how mighty, how holy, how righteous your God is today. And can I tell this body today that worship still works? Worship still works. The Bible is rich with stories that prove to us that worship, Sister Wanda, still works. Worship still works today. And the Bible's rich, and it tells us time and time again. It gives us story after story after story. The Bible tells us that as Saul, amen, increased in his madness and his pursuit of David, the Bible says that David increased in wisdom. And as Haman increased in pride and arrogance, Esther increased in favor with the king. And as Korah increased in the support of the people, Moses increased in the authority of God. What's interesting is in every situation I just read to you, they were under attack. They were embattled. They were hurting. They were lonely. They felt cast down. But what did they did when worship her? They kept on worshiping. They kept on worshiping. God, what are you going to do? Amen. When everything comes your way, will I worship? What's interesting in every one of the situations that I just read to you, those men were under attack. That woman was under attack. When worship hurt, that's when worship made the difference. Can I tell you, when worship hurts, when you're going through stuff, that's when worship has the most significance in your life. Anybody can worship God when everything's good. Anybody can worship God when all the bills are paid. Anybody can worship God when there's health in the body and money in the bank and everybody's getting along in the house. But can I tell you, whenever things are not going your way, when things are not looking good, when there's not health in the body and there's not money in the bank, and you wonder if you and your spouse are going to make it, will you worship when worship hurts today? That's what matters to God. That's what pleases God. That's what God wants to see out of his people today. And as every one of these people that I just read to you were attacked and embattled and hurting and going through something, they made the same decision that Paul and Silas made on the inner part of the prison. When they had to make the decision, will I worship God? Brother Bo, they made the decision to keep worshiping God even when it hurts. Come on. This might not be something to get you jumping and shouting today. It ain't real popular when your pastor tells you you got to worship God when you don't feel like it. It ain't real popular when your pastor tells you you got to worship God when everything ain't going good. You got to worship God when you're broke. You got to worship God when you got money in the bank. You got to worship God when you're sick. You got to worship God when you're lonely. You got to worship. Why? Because he's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Your problem's going to pass, and he's still going to be the same God that he was yesterday. So what do we do when worship hurts? We keep on worshiping God. We keep on giving him praise. We keep on giving him glory. Amen. Every one of these people, amen, were hurting. And that's when their worship made a difference. David was running from his life, but he kept on worshiping God. Come on, somebody. Haman plotted to kill every Jew in the kingdom, but Esther kept on worshiping God. Come on, Korah was trying to turn everybody against Moses, but Moses didn't quit. He kept on worshiping God. And worship isn't just for the good times, church. Worship is greater impact when it hurts. So what do you do when worship hurts? You keep on worshiping God, Sister Lizzie. That's what you do. You keep on worshiping God. What do you do when you feel embattled? What do you do when you feel lonely? What do you do when you're hurting? What do you do when you're confused? You just keep on worshiping God, Brother Tommy. You keep on worshiping God. Korah was trying to turn everybody against Moses, but Moses just kept on worshiping the Lord. Church, worship isn't just for the good times. Worship is for all times. How you worship him when you feel like it. You worship him when you don't feel like it. You worship him when he feels close to you. Worship him when he don't feel so close to you. You just keep on worshiping God, because God does not operate in moments and minutes and times and hours and days and weeks and months and years like we do. God operates in season, and your season's going to come to pass, and God's still going to be God. So what do you do when you're hurting? You just keep on worshiping God. You just keep on worshiping him. You just keep on giving him the glory. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, no pain, no gain. Come on, worship has greater impact when it hurts. No pain, no gain. If you've been in the gym, you've heard people say, no pain, no gain. I'm going to worship God until it hurts. I'm going to focus on the prize and not the pain. My flesh may not like it. My situation may not like it. My friends and my acquaintances may not like it. The world may not like it. The devil surely don't like it. But worship works best when it hurts. Somebody clap your hands and magnify the Lord in this house. If you've ever had to pull down your bootstraps and say, I'm going to keep worshiping God, even though it hurts, even though it don't feel good right where I'm at right now, I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. Worship works best when it hurts. Ooh. Worship isn't just for the good times. In fact, your worship has greater impact in the bad times. Worship works better when it hurts. Worship works better when you got to reach down deep on the inside of you to find it. Worship works better when you got to reach down and get a hold of the faith that's on the inside of you. Because anybody can praise God when it's all right. Anybody can praise God when everything's going good, but will you worship him when it hurts today? What do we do when worship hurts? We just keep on worshiping God. We keep on giving him glory. Come on, there's some things in your life, there's some people in your life might not like it. But what do? You keep on worshiping God, because worship works best when it hurts. When worship hurts. I'm on an interesting assignment from heaven today to let this church know that God is not interested in your casual relationship with him. I didn't get one amen, but that's all right. Come on, I'm on an assignment from heaven today to let you know God's not interested in your casual. God doesn't want a casual relationship with you. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you that's going to be there when times are good. He wants a relationship with you that's going to be there when times are bad. He wants somebody to walk by faith and not by sight. He wants somebody to believe him and keep worshiping him even when it hurts today. Clap your hands and give God praise even when it hurts. Come on. Let me tell you something. Half-heartedness might be the new normal for the world, but it'll never be the new normal for the church. Half-heartedness, come on, being casual, lukewarmness, it might be the new normal. Come on. What is that word I'm looking for? No, not numero uno. Not numero. If you were there, you were there. What is that word, Brother Paul? Postmodernism. Postmodernism might be the new normal for the world. Come on, the world might think that everything is gray. The world might think that everything's based on relativity. But can I tell you, to God, there's still absolutes today. Can I tell you, to the church, there still has to be absolutes today. To the church, there still has to be right and wrong. To the church, there still has to be black and white. To the church, there still has to be good and evil. To the church, there still has to be faithfulness and unfaithfulness. We got to keep worshiping God even when it hurts today. We got to worship him. We got to worship him. We got to praise him from the pit. We got to worship him in the valley. We got to worship God even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Come on. Postmodernism, half-heartedness, lukewarmness. Come on, living for God halfway, doing everything halfway might be the new normal for the world, but it'll never be the normal for the church. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. Come on, you can't live for God halfway. Yes, you're going to be in different stages of your walk with God, but in every stage, you got to give him your all. Come on, God don't expect you to know it all when you first come into the church, but God sure enough don't intend for you to stay where you're at when you come into the church. Come on, living for God halfway don't work. Come on, if you're lukewarm, he said he'll spew you out of his mouth. You got to believe in God with everything that's within you today. Might be the new normal for the world, but it'll never be the normal for the church. He wants all of you. He's jealous for you. Huh? There's few things I would kill somebody over, but my wife's one of them. I don't consider myself to be a jealous man, but you better not touch my wife. Huh? Can I tell you, we serve a jealous God today. His glory, he won't give unto another. He said, I'm a jealous God. I'm not going to give my glory to another. He's jealous for you today. He wants all of you today. He don't want to share you with the world. He don't want to share you with everybody else. He wants all of you today. He's jealous for you. He loves you because he created you, and he knows that the only thing that can sustain you is him. He is the only thing that can sustain you. He's jealous for you. He wants all of you. He's a jealous God today. And he knows that he's the only one that can sustain you. So he invites us to all of him. He wants all of you. He wants you to have all of him. He's a jealous God today. He wants all of us. He wants to be in us. He wants us to be in him. So he invites us to all of him. His joy, his peace, his glory is what's worth living for, church. Man, I look back over my life, and I'm old enough now to have experienced living for God and living for the world. And I can tell you, living for God is the greatest life I've ever lived. I can tell you, living for Jesus, trusting in Jesus, putting my life in his hands is the greatest life I have ever lived in all my days. And I understand that my God is jealous for me. He wants all of me. His peace, his joy, his glory is worth living for today. So we don't just worship him when it feels good. You want to know why the divorce rate's over 50%? Because people only want to stay married when it feels good. Can I tell you today, God never intended for us to dispose of things just when they don't feel good. Come on, God, your walk with God wasn't meant for you to dispose of just because it don't feel good. Just because somebody disappointed you. Just because somebody didn't shake your hand. Just because somebody done you wrong. No, your God wants to worship you to worship him even when it hurts. God still wants you to worship him. So we don't just worship him when it feels good. We don't just worship him when everything's going right. We sing when we're barren. Brother Eric was talking about it a while ago. We sing when we're barren. That's what Hannah did. And you know what happened? God gave her a son. His name was Samuel. And he anointed David king of Israel. Huh? Why? Because she sang when she was barren. Why? Because she worshiped when it didn't feel good. She worshiped when it hurt. She worshiped when she was lonely. She worshiped when she was disappointed. She kept on worshiping God, and God gave her the desires of her heart. Worship was never intended to just be used when it feels good to us. Think about that next time. You don't want to do what God's telling you to do. Think about that. Next time you're feeling sorry for yourself, Amen. His joy, His peace, His glory is worth living for today. We sing when we're barren. We praise when things are not perfect. We continue to worship when we're frustrated, when we're lonely, when we're disappointed, when we're confused. What do? We keep on worshiping God. We keep on worshiping God. And if you don't get a hold of this, you ain't gonna make it in your walk with God. If you don't get a hold of that, if you don't get it down in your understanding that you got to worship even when it hurts, you're not going to make it in your walk with God. You got to worship. What do? When worship hurts, you do what Paul and Silas did. You keep on giving Him praise. You worship Him in your darkest hour. What do? You do what Hannah did. You keep on worshiping the Lord when you're barren, when you're lonely, when you're hurting, when you're confused. You keep on worshiping God. What do? You do what Moses did when Korah started turning everybody against him. You do what David did when his son started turning everybody against him. He kept on worshiping the Lord, and the Lord restored the kingdom of David. What do? You keep on worshiping Him. The truth of the matter is, church, sometimes worship hurts. We don't like things that hurt. We don't like things that don't feel good. I wish I had a nickel for every time I didn't want to go to church. I'd be a rich man. I wish I had a nickel for every time I was tired and I said I was just going to stay home. I wish I had a nickel for every time my grass needed cut instead of going to the house of the Lord. My wife will tell you, man, I've left our basement flooded and went on and got in the car and went to the house of the Lord. You know why? Because sometimes worship hurts. You know why? Because we got to trust God even when it don't feel good. We got to leave our problems where they lay and let God be God. And every man a liar today. We got to worship. Sometimes worship hurts. We keep on worshiping Him. We keep on giving Him praise. I promise you, David probably really didn't want to call for the ephod when he got back to Ziklag. What'd he do? He said, "Give me a man of God. Give me an ephod." He fell down on his face before God. His wives were gone. His children was gone. His city was burned. He was at one of the worst moments of his life. And what did he do? He started worshiping God. He started worshiping God. Because the truth is, church, sometimes worship hurts. I've had some pits in my life. We've had some really low moments in our life. I've had people that I held to a high regard, Brother Joe, turn around and turn their back and desert me. I've held men and women to a high regard that walked away like I never meant anything to them. I've had some low moments in my life. I've had people turn their back on me. I've had people desert me. 20 years ago, that beautiful, long, white-haired woman right there fell down right in the middle of a church service and had a massive heart attack, and everybody in the church thought she was dead. Man, I thought it was over. The matriarch of our family, laying in the floor, we did not think she was going to wake up. I've had some low moments in my life. For the first time in my life, I felt a pain and a grief. We had lost people in our lives, but I never felt nothing like I felt the day my mother fell down in that floor in that church. It was one of the lowest moments of my life, Brother Jimmy. I remember the pain. I remember the fear. I remember it gripping my heart. I remember saying, "My God, what am I going to do without my mother?" I was young. I was a young minister. I didn't have nothing figured out in my life. I needed her. And here God was about to take her away, the matriarch of our family. But let me tell you something. What did we do? We started worshiping God. What did we do? We started singing praises unto God. And what happened? The Lord rose her up. And 25 years later, here she is still helping build this church today. I've had some moments in my life. Come on. 15 years ago, me and my wife lay in this street, right down this road. We had just had a motorcycle accident. My wife, I thought she was going to lose her leg. They called a helicopter to transport her to Methodist. I didn't think she was going to make it. I thought surely she was going to die before we got there. I've had some low moments. I've had to praise Him in the pit before. I've had to worship him in the valley before. So I don't come to you casually about what you're going through today. I don't come to you casually and half-heartedly today telling you as your pastor that you got to worship God when it hurts. I come to you from experience. I come to you from the perspective of David and the perspective of Moses and the perspective of Joshua and the perspective of Joseph. I come to you today to let you know that worship still works. Worship still works even when it hurts. I don't come to you casually today making light of your situations. There are people in this church that are going through serious stuff, but the last thing you need to do is turn your back on God. The last thing you need to do is turn your back on God. The truth of the matter is sometimes worship hurts. And sometimes you got to praise him from the pit. Huh? And sometimes you got to praise him and you got to worship him from the valley. And sometimes you just got to understand that no matter where you go, your God will be with you. Huh? Come on, we learn from Paul and Silas. We learn from David. We learn from Moses. We learn from Joseph time and time and time again. The Bible is rich with stories that tell us we must keep worshiping God even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. Not one time out of every circumstance that I just read you did God not show up. Not one time did God fail them. Not one time did God let them down. Come on. The truth is, church, we all have struggles in our lives. And I don't come to you casually today to tell you to keep worshiping even when it hurts because I'm making light of your situation. I understand what it feels like to pray from the pit. I understand what it's like to worship in the valley. I understand today. I've had some pits in my life and they're real. They're real. They're cold. They're dark. They're frightening. There's uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen. All you know is you trust in the Lord. But let me tell you something. Faith still works. And worshiping God, even when it hurts, still works. I'm declaring to this church today that prayer still works in the pit. Just ask Joseph. He'll tell you. Brother Teddy kept his eyes on the Lord when his own family deserted him. Huh? He kept his eyes on the Lord when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He kept his eyes on the Lord when the baker denied him when he brought him back up out of the prison. He kept his eyes on the Lord when he went into Pharaoh's house. He kept his eyes on the Lord when a famine hit the land. And he kept his eyes on the Lord when his brothers didn't even know who he was. Why? Because sometimes worship hurts. Sometimes you got to get it down in your spirit that I'm going to worship the Lord no matter what comes my way. We all have pits. We all have valleys. I'm declaring to you today the prayer still works in the pit. I'm declaring to you today that thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, he said, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but you turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods that you know not, there's going to be a curse. There's going to be a curse. But if you obey God, if you trust God, if you worship God when it hurts, if you put your faith in God, if you walk by faith and not by sight, there's going to be a blessing on the way. God's going to show up. David pursued those Philistines and he recovered everything. The Bible says he lost nothing. Why? Because he worshiped when it hurt. He fell down on his face before God. He trusted God when it wasn't popular. He trusted God when it didn't feel good. I come to tell this body today, the truth is sometimes worship hurts. We all have pits. We all have valleys. We all sometimes feel like God himself has abandoned us. Sometimes, you all don't even know how many times I come here. I'm going through stuff. You don't even know what I'm going through. And I'm going through the motions, Sister Wanda. I'm going through the motions. You know why? Because I'm a man. And sometimes I got to worship God even when I'm hurting on the inside. So you know what I do? I strap my boots on. I get a hold of the faith that's down deep on the inside of me. And I say there's a lot of people depending on me to show up over at that church and to worship God even though I'm going through what I'm going through. I'm going to show them to worship God even when it hurts. There's a blessing and a cursing set before you today. You can only be the one to make that choice. You're going to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to receive a blessing and you're going to receive a cursing. We all have pits. We all have valleys. We all sometimes feel alone. We all go through stuff. We all have been beaten. We all have been embattled. We all have been in prison, if not in the physical, in your own mind and in your own heart, you have been imprisoned in your own mind. We all go through it. We all sometimes have to face and make the decision, will I worship? Paul and Silas had to make a decision at midnight. Brother Kyler. They had to make a decision in their lowest moment. Was they just going to throw in the towel? Was they going to worship God? Moses had to make a decision when Korah had turned everybody down there in the camp against him. Am I going to worship God or am I just going to give up and say, okay, you all win. I'm walking out. You can have it. No, Moses kept on worshiping God. David had to make a decision when he came back to Ziklag. What am I going to do? The city is burnt. Everybody's gone. The Philistines have taken everything that belongs to me. What did he do? When he said, will I worship God? He fell down on his face and he started worshiping God. Will you worship when it hurts? Anybody can serve God when it's easy, Brother Jediah. Anybody can live for God when they got plenty of goosebumps. Come on, when there's jumping up and down. When there's running all around. And there's money in the bank and health in the body and everything's good. Anybody can worship God when it's like that, but what do you do when it hurts? Will you worship God when it hurts? When you've been beaten, when you've been in battle, when you've been imprisoned in your own mind, will you offer him a sacrificial offering of praise? Will you worship God when it hurts? Will you worship when it hurts? Paul and Silas did. I don't know about this body, but I want the same result Paul and Silas got. So I think I'm going to do what Paul and Silas did. I learned a long time ago that success is simply this. Find somebody who has what you want, have them to teach you how to do it, and then just do what they say. I'm looking at Paul and Silas from the outside looking in. I'm seeing they got the result that I want, so I want to do what Paul and Silas did. I want the same victory that Paul and Silas had. I want the same victory that Moses got. I want the same victory that David got. I'm going to worship the Lord even when it hurts. Because they all got the results that I want. So I'm going to do what they did. I'm going to do what they did. Will, come on. You can have the same results that they got as long as you're willing to do what they did. You can have the same results that they got. Will you do the one thing that can bring you the kind of breakthrough that you're looking for? What is the one thing, Brother Eric, that will bring you the kind of breakthrough you're looking for? Worship God even when it hurts. Don't throw in the towel when things get difficult. Don't throw in the towel when times get hard. You buckle down, you get a hold of your faith, and you keep worshiping God. What will you do when worship hurts? The choice is up to you today. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. you're able to stand to your feet today. When you make the choice, when you make the choice to praise from the pit, when you make the choice to worship in the valley or in the prison or whatever it is that you're going through, let me tell you what you do. You are tapping in to a supernatural power that did not come from you. When you buckle down and you walk by faith and not by sight, and you do what you know to do instead of what you want to do, you are tapping in, Sister Gail, to a supernatural power that does not come from you. It might be deep down on the inside of you, but it's God-given. Endued with power from on high. What happens when you receive the Holy Ghost? God endues you with a supernatural power from on high. You don't have to give in when things get hard. You can reach down deep on the inside of you and you can say, I'm going to worship God even when times get hard. It's not our power, church. It's His power. He's just kind enough to put it in us. You know, Paul's second missionary journey was simply this. It was all about encouraging the churches that he started on his first missionary journey. Can I tell this body today that it's not just necessary for the church to be saved? It's necessary for the church to be encouraged. So why did Paul need a second missionary journey? Because he understood that it ain't enough just to get baptized in his name, repent of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to be taught how to get to heaven. The church needs more. Let me tell you something. When you complete the plan of salvation and you repent of your sins and you get baptized in Jesus' name, because that's the only way to be baptized. There is no other baptism. There's only one baptism. Look at that banner right there. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that's baptism in Jesus' name. There is no other recorded baptisms. Only in Jesus' name. But when you repent of your sins and you get baptized in Jesus' name and the Lord fills you with His Spirit, it's not a fix-all and an end-all. It's a beginning of a journey. And Paul understood, man, I went, Brother Bo, I got all these people won to the Lord. I started all these churches, and here they are. I'm getting all these letters, and I'm understanding that they're all struggling. So you know what I need to do? I got to get back out there on the road. I got to get on a second missionary journey, and I got to encourage the people. Can I tell you, you got to learn to be encouraged in the Lord. Being baptized in Jesus' name is wonderful. It's a part of the plan of salvation. But you got to be encouraged in the Lord. You got to be strengthened in the Lord. You got to receive instruction from God and from the church and from the ministry and from the teaching of the church. Paul's second missionary journey was all about encouraging the churches that he started on his first missionary journey. Because the church doesn't just need to be saved, it needs to be encouraged. And after Peter preached his sermon from Solomon's porch the day of Pentecost, I love at the close of the text that we just read how that the man said, sirs, the jailer looked at Paul and Silas and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The same question was asked to Peter and the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Peter gave a very clear response. He said, you must repent of your sins. You must turn from your ways. You must be baptized in Jesus' name, and you must be filled with the Spirit of God. Can I tell you, those words are so powerful. What must we do to be saved? The great theologian Charles Spurgeon, he used to write on every pulpit that he had, he would write those words that the jailer said to Paul and the Jews asked Peter and the apostles, what must we do to be saved? He put that on every pulpit that he ever had, because he always wanted to remind himself what his job was, to teach the people. It ain't just about getting them baptized. I've seen a lot of people repent and be baptized. I've seen a lot of people be filled with the Holy Ghost and still lose their way with God. Can I tell you, you got to learn how to get to heaven. It takes more than just repenting, being baptized, and being filled with the Spirit. You must understand that sometimes worship's going to hurt. Sometimes things are going to get difficult. Sometimes things aren't always going to be what you want them to be. You still got to keep worshiping God if you want to make it to heaven. You still got to keep worshiping God. How are we saved? We repent, we get baptized, we get filled with the Spirit, but then we learn that sometimes we have to praise from the pit. Sometimes we got to worship from the valley. Life isn't always going to be what we want it to be. Church isn't always going to be what we want it to be. So what do? We keep worshiping God even when it hurts. What do you do when worship hurts? You keep worshiping God. If you want the results that Paul and Silas got, then we keep worshiping God even when it hurts. These altars are open as we get ready to sing this closing song.